Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. And my next guest needs no introduction to listeners of this station. For the last 10 years, Dave Isay has been coming to the show to talk about his oral history project, StoryCorps, plus making you cry on your way to work, probably, as samples of those recordings air on Morning Edition every week. He's now set to launch a new phase of StoryCorps that will focus on stories from the LGBT community called Out Loud. It launches officially on June 28th, which is the 45th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising. And he's here this morning to talk about this project that's dedicated to his father's memory, and we'll hear why, and to play some stories, of course. You'll also be able to see Dave in person on Sunday as part of BAM's Radio Love Fest at the Out Loud launch party. First, BAM's Radio Love Fest. Thanks to all of you who came out to see my screening of Stop Making Sense last night, the Talking Heads movie. That was so much fun, and with director Jonathan Demme, he and I spoke afterwards. So great to see many of you out at BAM last night for our contribution to Radio Love Fest. And on Sunday, Dave Isay and StoryCorps.
And Scott Simon.
With Scott Simon interviewing you, is that the way it's going to work?
Yes, and it's kind of going to be a hoedown of like wild New York City characters playing their stories and having them come and talk about them.
And while you have your calendars out, also there'll be an Out Loud launch party with Dave Isay and David Hyde Pierce at Le Poisson Rouge on June 17th. Let's start with a clip.
Sure.
The T in the part, the T part of the LGBT, that part of the community is having a moment right now with the cover story of Time magazine last week. We talked about that earlier this week on the show, and Medicare now allowing sex reassignment surgery. There had been a blanket ban in the past. So set this first story up for us from a transgendered grandparent.
Sure. This is a woman named Alexis Martinez, who grew up in the Chicago housing projects, the Ickes projects in the 50s and 60s as Arthur Martinez. As I think you'll hear in this clip, was a gang member when he was growing up and has been living as a woman full time for the last couple of years, and came to StoryCorps with his daughter, Leslie, to talk about her life.
When I came out to my mom that I was transgender, I think I was 13 or 14, and she called the police, and I always remember that when the police showed up, you know, they just laughed and told her, "You got a fag for a son, and there's nothing we can do about it." You know, so I went as macho as I could be, you know, to mask what I really was underneath. And by that time, I had become a member of a gang. Mm-hmm. People just didn't mess with me, you know, because they knew they had a fight on their hands. When I look back at it, it was almost schizophrenic, because I would be wearing combat boots and blue jeans and a leather jacket, but underneath I would have like stockings and a bra. And so I remember it as a very dark period. I mean, I really didn't believe that anybody could love somebody like me.
I remember as a little girl that you would say these things like, "Well, I know that I'm not loved." I just remember growing up like, "Daddy, I love you." You know, it was just such an important thing for me to express to you how much you mattered. And it was a big to-do. I discovered some female clothes. It was sort of, you know, my uncovering the secret.
You asked me why. And I think if I had tried to cover it up, a lot of trust would have been lost between us.
It was like freedom, because now I could talk to you freely about being a girl, you know, and you're the one who taught me to put on makeup.
You know, I was really torn between being a female role model and a dad. And so I said to myself, okay, well, be the best parent. Whatever it takes, however I do it, you have to look out for your baby. But one of the most difficult things for me was I was always afraid that I wouldn't be allowed to be in my granddaughter's lives. And you blew that completely out of the water, you and your husband. One of the fruits of that is, you know, my relationship with my granddaughters, they fight with each other sometimes over whether I'm he or she, you know.
But they're free to talk about it.
They're free to talk about it, but that to me is a miracle.
You don't have to apologize. You don't have to tiptoe. You know, we're not going to cut you off. And that is something I've always wanted you to, you know, just know that you're loved.
You know, I live this every day now. I walk down the streets as a woman, and I really am at peace with who I am. I mean, I wish I had a softer voice, maybe, you know. But now I walk in love, and I try to live that way every day.
One of the stories from StoryCorps' new Out Loud project with LGBT-related stories. I guess we all hope, Dave Isay, to have that arc to our stories if we start out under difficult circumstances, huh?
Yeah, and when Alexa says, "Now I walk in love," I mean, it's poetry. And I should say, I've met Alexis and Leslie a bunch of times in Chicago, and they are coming to New York for the opening of Out Loud at Poisson Rouge. So I hope people will join us and meet Alexis and tell her how absolutely awesome she is.
You're listening to WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJO 90.3 Toms River, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJP 88.5 Sussex. New York and New Jersey Public Radio, as we talk with Dave Isay from StoryCorps, rolling out a new project called Out Loud. By the way, how do you do StoryCorps on stage? What will the BAM event be like? Since StoryCorps is really pairs of people coming to interview each other for about 20 minutes each. 40 minutes each.
Yes.
40 minutes each.
And we've now done about 55,000 of these. So that's a lot of 40 minutes.
And by the way, I hope you screen on Sunday the thing that I saw last night, the short that they played of yours before the Talking Heads movie.
Yeah.
It was an animated 2-minute or so piece. I guess it was the voice of Studs Terkel.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about the disappearance of the sound of the human voice. And how he's on the, the train that goes from terminal to terminal.
In Atlanta.
At the airport. And it doesn't sound like a human voice anymore. It sounds like a machine. And then some people squeeze in as the doors are closing. They're coming in with their bags and the doors are trying to close, but they get in. And then a sign goes up and the voice comes back and says, "Because of delayed entry, this train is delayed 30 seconds." It's such a sweet cartoon.
Yeah.
It's so human.
Studs was amazing.
And then the baby starts laughing and he says, "Ah, the sound of a human voice."
Yeah.
I hope people get to see that. Will you screen that again?
I don't know. Well, now that you've asked, maybe I will. I'll definitely screen some animations. And the way it's going to work is Scott and I are on stage, and we're going to talk about StoryCorps, play stories, and then people come up and talk about their experience. It's really fun.
They'll talk about their experience having been StoryCorps participants.
And answer questions. So it's kind of getting to meet the folks live and in person.
No live interviews between pairs of people in front of a crowd.
Never.
That would be inappropriate.
No, I mean, StoryCorps is about, two people and a facilitator having a private moment in a booth. So I've been asked many times to do live interviews with this person or that person on stage. Nope. We don't do that.
And I will always remember fondly the time you gave me the opportunity to do the first ever StoryCorps booth interview at Grand Central when you had the booth there and you were just rolling it out, and it was Studs Terkel.
Yes,
who I got to interview.
Well, he was 92 or 93, and he flew out to New York to launch the booth. Well, and of course, we launched StoryCorps on your show, so the bond goes back a long way.
Indeed. So when people hear these clips, and we'll play another one right now, but these clips of people who came kind of as private individuals to the StoryCorps booth in one place or another, and then all of a sudden they're airing nationally on NPR.
Yeah.
You have completely gotten their permission, right?
Yes. No, we're a public service, and what that public service we offer is the interviews. And even though we're known for what is broadcast, but that's kind of a corollary of the public service we offer. So we're here to serve participants. You sign a release if you want to have it eligible for the archive or for broadcast. And I should say, after 55,000 interviews, about 99.9% of participants have signed that release. And then if we're going to broadcast something, everything is fact-checked. It's played for participants, cleared with participants. Even though we have the right to do it, we kind of double and triple check. And on the animations you see, the incredible animators go out and meet the participants and see where the story took place and look at pictures. So everything is accurate all across the board.
So from the new Out Loud project, stories from the LGBT community in StoryCorps, here's another one with Rita Fisher and her son Jay.
When you called and came out, it was quite a shock. I had no inkling. None whatsoever. You tell me you're gay, and I said, "Listen, give me a half an hour to come to myself, and I'll call you back." And so I did call back, And I said, this is not telephone discussion. I think you best come speak with Dad and I. But don't worry, we're going to love you the same way.
When you talked about not knowing about me being gay, I mean, I consider you a lot of things, but dumb isn't one of them. And I had left so many clues.
I don't know what clues you're talking about.
I had somebody over 3 times a week for 5 years.
In my house?
In your house. I had a f*** buddy.
That's what you call them, f*** buddies?
Well, no. I can call them a lot of things, but...
I don't know what you call them, but I didn't know, and that's all. I would not be so dumb now. I have what they call gaydar.
God bless.
I can pick them up in a minute. And the very high point for me was when you, Jay, and Michael had your commitment ceremony.
Yes.
Dad and I were celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary, and you suggested that we make it a joint celebration. And when Dad and I walked you down that aisle, I was so overwhelmed that I thought I was going to drop dead from a heart attack. It was one of my bursting moments of pride.
I consider you a blessing to both me and Michael. And that's as best as I can put it.
I think straight parents should be involved with their gay children. I told everybody and anybody who would listen to me that I had a gay son and that I was very proud of my gay son.
I should say, Brian, that that's the first time this has ever been broadcast on public radio. It was not deemed appropriate for Morning Edition. And we are so proud that 90-year-old Rita Fisher could say her piece on the Brian Lehrer Show.
What, a little bleep and they couldn't air it on Morning Edition?
Well, what do you know what? They'd air it if we'd cut that out, and I had to stand my ground and say nope.
She's 90, huh?
Yeah.
That parent-child dynamic. It's part of your own story, too, isn't it?
With the Out Loud project, yeah, sure.
I'm talking about your late father.
Yeah. So I one of the reasons that I've been trying to launch this, we've done a bunch of initiatives, as you know, over the year. I think this will be our 10th. The first was with 9/11 families, all the way up to the one we're currently running with post-9/11 vets from Iraq and Afghanistan and their families and active duty service people. And I've been wanting to do a major national initiative celebrating the LGBT community for 6 or 7 years and tried to raise money and didn't have any luck. My dad was a gay activist, and I adored him. He was obviously an incredibly important person in my life. And actually, this goes back all the way to the beginning of my getting into radio. I found out that he was gay right at the very, very, very beginning when I was 21 years old and was getting into radio. And the first documentary I ever did 25 years ago was was an oral history of Stonewall. So he had mentioned Stonewall to me, and I used the microphone to go and talk to people who I had never talked to before and met some of the most incredibly brave, heroic, amazing people that I'd ever met, and dedicated this documentary to my dad, who died on the anniversary of Stonewall 2 years ago, very suddenly. And I was fortunate enough that I had done a StoryCorps interview with him. So the night that he passed away, you know, at 3 a.m, I got to listen to this recording that I knew would be the only way that my young kids would ever get to know my dad. And he had wanted to see this happen. And after he passed away, it was going to happen come hell or high water. So with a couple of foundations and a lot more money to raise, we're going to launch StoryCorps Out Loud, which is going to be a 3-year initiative to go across the country and get stories. I think there'll be a lot of stories with people who were alive before Stonewall to find out what it was like in small towns and get this history down so that we can learn from the past and people can understand what folks went through.
Is that what you're going for primarily, the older stories of when almost everybody was closeted? Because it seems like there are so many coming out stories over, let's say, the last couple of decades
yeah.
that it's not new anymore for people to hear somebody coming out or the background of how they came out. Even the story we just heard, beautiful as it was, it's not necessarily a fresh plot line to anybody at
this point.
The mom who didn't realize that her son, who was probably effeminate in 15 different ways, didn't realize that he was gay.
Right.
And then they reconcile.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think we're going to get – this is going to be a massive project. So we're going to get every kind of story you can imagine. But I think what's extremely important is for people to understand what was going on in the 60s, 50s, 70s. It was very different. And the story hasn't been told. And it is one of the great civil rights struggle of American history. And I think we're going to – you know, despite – the fact that we just heard these stories with happy endings, we're going to hear a lot of stories that didn't have happy endings. And a lot of I don't know what we're going to find, but I think it's going to be painful. But as with so much of the stories of the LGBT community, it'll be there'll be courage and humor in the face of the pain and
in the face of the AIDS epidemic, which is a much too large piece of this story. And so this last StoryCorps Out Loud excerpt that we're going to play is Stefan Lynch Strassfeld speaking to his friend Beth about growing up with gay parents in the 1980s during the height of that crisis.
My family were mostly gay guys who were my babysitters and the guys who, you know, took the pictures at my birthday parties, and I felt like I had this amazing family. I called them my aunties. And it was a really wonderful, amazing world that came crashing down. Starting in 82, the first person I knew died of AIDS. A young guy named Steve.
And how old were you at the time?
I was 10 when he was diagnosed. And I remember I was on the beach and I saw him and he was covered in these purple spots. And I remember asking my dad, like, what's wrong with Steve? And my dad said, oh, he has this skin cancer called Kaposi's sarcoma. And I said, well, what is that? And my dad said, well, nobody really knows, but there's some gay men that are getting it. And within, I think, 2 months, Steve was dead. And it was pretty much a succession of deaths of my family throughout the next decade. My stepdad, Bill, died in 87. My dad died in 91. After a really grueling 6 months of me taking care of him. You know, I was 19, and at that point, everyone had died except for a handful of stragglers who I now hold near and dear to my heart, my aunties. It was a powerful family. There was a lot of love. And they modeled for me how to survive an epidemic even if you were dying while doing it.
Examples over the last few minutes from the new Out Loud project, LGBT-related stories from StoryCorps, and we will have to leave it there with Dave Isay, founder of StoryCorps, trying to make us a nation of oral historians, author of the books Ties That Bind, Stories of Love and Gratitude from the First 10 Years of StoryCorps, that one book published by Penguin Press last year. Out Loud launches officially on June 28th, but he'll be at the Out Loud launch party with David Hyde Pierce at Le Poisson Rouge in Lower Manhattan on June 17th. And he will be this Sunday in conversation with Weekend Edition Scott Simon as part of BAM's Radio Love Fest in conjunction with WNYC. And we have links to ticket information for both events on our website. And BAM is setting up a StoryCorps booth in its lobby during the Radio Love Fest, too, for those of you who want to bring someone and do, back-to-back interviews one way and the other way with somebody who's important to you. StoryCorps, Rosanne and Dave Isay, thank you so much.
Great to see you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, what do veterans think of Bo Bergdahl and the prisoner exchange that won his release? We'll ask Paul Rykoff, founder of the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, and we'll invite others of you vets to call in. Stay with us.